The Eddie B. Sit edition and audio series of the Talmud Bavli.
Echet Yebamot has been dedicated and sponsored by our dear friend Mr. Isaac Jamal and his wife in honor of his family and Hatzlacha Varvaha Bechol Ma'asei Yadav. May be Zocheh to raise his children in the ways of the Torah. They should give him much nachat. He should have many more children with health and happiness. Chen v'chesed b'enei Hashem u'b'nei Adam. And he should have beracha b'kol mikol kol. Him and his entire family. Amen. Daf Samech Bet. Today's daf is being studied on Nishmat Avraham ben Esther. Ruach Hashem t'nihenu b'gan Eden. Amen. We are in the Gemara Samech Aleph Amud Bet. And we are actually two lines from the bottom. We are discussing a very fundamental machloket in the mitzvah of Periyah v'Ribiyah, machloket Beit Shammai, Beit Hillel, according to our Mishnah. What is the minimum amount of children and gender that a person must have in order to fulfill the mitzvah of Teru Urvu? So according to the Shita of Beit Shammai, he says two zecharim, two males. Or according to Beit Hillel, he says one zachar and one nekeva. Gemara is going to analyze exactly what the source of each shita is. It should be noted that the Mishnah did tell us that a person, even though he fulfills his mitzvah periyah v'ribiyah, while he is not obligated to remain married to a child-bearing wife, but he still should be married to any type of wife, which is a wife at least that could be with him, his companionship, as the pasuk says, "Lo tov yot Adam levado." The Gemara concluded yesterday in that while a person normally would sell a sefer Torah, that's how important it is to get married, especially to bring children into the world. A person would sell a sefer Torah in order to make a wedding, in order to get married to a lady, in order to have children. So we ended up with that nafkamina, that if a person has children already, right, now he has, let's say, two ladies in front of him, one lady that's childbearing, one lady is not, he has no money. The childbearing lady, he doesn't want to marry him without money. So the only way he can take her is if he's going to sell the Sefer Torah. But the other lady, the non-childbearing, she'll get married to him like he is. So the deen is, do not sell the Sefer Torah in that case. In order to take the child-bearing lady, just go marry the zekena or the akara, just to have companionship. We left off yesterday, we discussed the she'ela. Do you sell a sefer Torah in order, let's say, you can't even get an akara, you can't even get a zekena? Could you sell the sefer Torah in that case? She's for sure for a child-bearing, when you're in your child-bearing years, where you didn't have your children yet, for sure, it's okay to sell the Sefer Torah. That's nobody argues on. There's a discussion in the Tosafot. We're going to see later on. There's some shitot that say even if you had children when you were young and you fulfilled the mitzvah, you got to have more children. So Tosafot says even according to that opinion that says you have to have more children, you don't sell a Sefer Torah for that either. For the more children, you don't sell a Sefer Torah for a child-bearing wife. You just take the akara or zikana, you know, without having to sell anything. So the sheila is, let's say you have to pay for the zikana or the akara. Do you sell a sifda for the companionship wife? So that's really we came out. So machloket amongst the Rishonim. The Ramban says you do. From the Ritva, it's mashma, you're not. So that would be a separate question in itself. Can you sell sefer Torah just to have the companionship wife? And this is sevarot on both sides. Now we want to discuss the sources of Beit Shammai Beit Hillel Shita. So the Gemara says, "My tamai you de Beit Shammai." What's the logic of Beit Shammai that says two boys, Yalfinan Mimoshe? Well, so we learn from Moshe Rabbeinu, "Dichtiv b'nei Moshe Gereshom ve'Eliezer." Now, once he had his two sons, Rashi says, "Piresh min Aisha." He left his wife. Now, he wouldn't have abstained from his wife if he didn't fulfill the mitzvah Piru Urvu, we could assume. So then, once he had his two boys, he's done, and he's Piresh min Aisha, he abstained from his wife, he left his wife, and therefore you see that that must be the obligation. But Tele has a different shita. But Tele has a different shita. He said, the way Borei Olam created the world. Originally, how did he create the world? Adam and Chava. It's created with a man and a woman. So therefore, that's the minimum. You have to follow Borei Olam. The way he creates, you have to create also. So therefore, you have to have minimum a zachar v'nekeva.
Oh, the Gemara says, "Bet Shammai, lilfi mebriyato shel olam." Bet Shammai, how come you don't learn from briyato olam like Bet Hillel does? And danim efshar, mishi efshar. So Bet Shammai says, you can't learn from briyato olam because briyato olam is a case of efshar. What do you want God to do? Kiviyachol, which means you have to create a man and a woman in the beginning to procreate. But now already, that there's woman in the world already, so who says that the obligation is man and woman? The Biryat Olam case is the Eif Sharkin. You have no choice in that case to create a man and woman. They're the first people. To have creation, you're going to have a man and woman. But now, the way that she's language is, De'i lo evray hava, lo avay nekeva ahariti. Aval, hacha, mishi yesh lo shnei zekarim, nekevot habib ba'olam. Right, but Shammai says, you have two boys. Right, so married, there's nekevot Olam, nekevot in the world. So therefore, you have no ra'ayah. U'betelel, Namel lilfu mi Moshe. How come Bet Hillel does not learn from Moshe Rabbeinu? Amri lecha Moshe midate hu de'avad, which means Moshe Rabbeinu on his own left his wife because of the issue that Shekhinah was talking to him, and therefore he felt, as we're going to see now, that he had to be on call, you know, constantly for the presence of the Shekhinah, and therefore he cannot be with his wife. So there was no ra'ayah that he fulfilled Perei Avad Rabbiyah, which means Moshe Rabbeinu had a special heter because he's Moshe Rabbeinu to be, you know, available for the transmission of the Shekhinah constantly. So he left his wife, but you can't live from Moshe Rabbeinu to everybody else. Maybe in the Kadami you have to have a boy and a girl. But what? He had two boys, but he's Moshe Rabbeinu. He has to be ready for the Shekhinah. So therefore you can bring a ra'ayah from him. The way that she says, Midate, Meshuv Shekhinah, Vasul Shar Kul Adam Nasot Ken. And I know, and you can't copy from Moshe Rabbeinu. The Tanya, Gemara says, we have a brighter. Shelosha Devarim Asa Moshe Midato. There are three things that Moshe Rabbeinu did on his own, which is from his own deduction. Veskima Dato. And his opinion actually was consistent with the opinion of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. What are the cases? Pirash Menaisha. He separated from his wife. Veshiber Aluhot. He broke the tablets. Veosif Yom Echad. And he added one day. We'll see where he added this one day to. That she says, HaKadosh Baruch Hu Amar Lo Vekendashtem Ayom Umahar. When it came to the days of Hagbalah, yep, right, the days of preparation before Matan Torah, Borei Olam said today and tomorrow, right, and he made it a 3-day situation. And we'll see in the Gemara exactly what he did. Pirash ben Aisha says he left, he abstained from his wife. My darash, what was his darash? Amar, he said like this, Uma Yisrael shelo debera imahem shechina, era lefi sha'am. Borei Olam only talked to the Jewish people temporarily, and he even told them the exact time that he's going to transmit to them. Amra Torah, so the Torah says, "Al tegishu Elisha." They still were forbidden to be with their wives, even for this transmission that was already foretold from the beginning, and they knew exactly when they had to be ready. Wow. Says me, where I am already prepared and designated for the transmissions from God at any time. Then there's no set time. Alachat kama v'kama. All the morsels that have to be ready. Therefore, I have to separate from my wife to be betara. V'skima dato. The data makom. I don't know. Borei Olam agreed with Moshe and Emar. Lech emor lahem shuvu lachem laaholechem ve'ata po amod emadi. Borei Olam tells them after Matan Torah, go tell the people, go back to their tents, go back to their wives, but you stay here. Which is God's way of saying, I agree with you. Don't go back to your wife. Stay here. So you see, Borei Olam was meskin. Comes the Gemara and continues. Shibir et aluhot. He broke the luhot. My darash. What was his darasha? Amar. Uma Pesach. Shehu echad meshesh me'ot u'shlosh tisrei mitzvot. Comes to the Korban Pesach, which is only one of the 630 mitzvot in the Torah. Amra Torah. What does the Torah say? Kol ben nechad lo yochal bo. Kol ben nechad is one of two interpretations. Either it means a goy, ben nechad, tamay nochri, a goy, or it means a Jew that acts like a goy. That means a Jew that's called a mumar. Now let's say a Jew is a mumal avodah zara. So the Torah says if a Jew is a mumal avodah zara, he cannot eat from the Korban Pesach. So Moshe Rabbeinu made a kav vachomer. HaTorah kula v'Yisrael mumarim al achad kama v'kama. Which means if one mitzvah already you cannot fulfill, if a person is a mumar la avodah zara, kol sheken, if all Bnei Yisrael mumarim because they worship the Egel.
the whole Torah itself should not be available to them because of their situation of worshipping Avodah Zarah. That was Moshe Rabbeinu who said, therefore they don't deserve the Torah, therefore we have to take the Luchot and break them. If Korban Pesach, which is one out of the 613, you cannot fulfill if you're a Mumar, kol sheken the rest of the Torah. The Sfot says it's really not such a good kavah homer, because I could say the opposite. I could say, let them do the rest of the Torah and I'll bring them back to Teshuvah. But the kavah homer he made. She took it to Sfot. The Torah kula v'yisei Mumarim ve'en ze kavah homer gamur deshari Pesach mishum de kadashim. Korban Pesach is kadashim, it's korbanot. So we're mahmir by korbanot. Aval kula Torah kula adrabah, yesh l'medam l'achasram b'teshuvah. Maybe the Torah will bring him back to the Shuvah, but that's the cover home that he made. In any event, the schema dato ledata makom. And really, Bore Olam agreed with him. Dichtiv, the Pasuk says, Asher Shibarta. Right? The Pasuk says, Pesol lecha shtei luchot abanim kerishonim v'chatavti ala luchot et hadavrim asher hayu ala luchot rishonim asher shibarta. The Pasuk could have said, write it because of the luchot that you broke. It could have said, Shesh Shibarta. The extra word, Asher Shibarta, the Gemara's Doresh, Ve'amar Shtekish, Amar Lekash Baruch Hu Moshe, Yishar Kohacha Sheshibarta. Borei Olam told him, Yishar is like emit, like it's correct, you're, it's proper what you did in breaking the Luchot.
This is where we get Yishar Koh.
That's where they get it from, exactly. So that's where you see he agreed with him. Lashon Yishar. That's like correct or proper. Your strength is proper in this case over here. Sheshibarta. Osif Yom Ehad Medalto. He added one day. What is that referring to? May Darash Dichtiv. It says, "My before Matan Torah, Kedashtem Hayom Umachar." Now, Borei Olam told them on Wednesday. It was Wednesday of the week. He told them that you have to make the days of Hakbalah today and tomorrow. So definitely the plan was Wednesday and Thursday. And then Friday was going to be Matan Torah. Moshe Rabbeinu added a day. How did he add a day? He said, Hayom Kemahar. He made a derasha. It says, Hayom Umahar. He said, Hayom Kemahar. Ma Mahar Lelo Imo. Afayom Lelo Imo. Just like tomorrow, which means when it comes to Thursday, it's going to be the night, Wednesday night and Thursday. So too, the first day also has to be night and day. Ve'alayla daydana nafakle. But already by Wednesday, the night was gone. Tuesday night was passed already. So therefore, he didn't start counting the Hakbalah on Wednesday. Must be 2 days besides today. So Wednesday, he didn't count. The first day he counted was Thursday, and then Friday. And then when was Matan Torah? Borei Olam put Matan Torah on Shabbat. Now, how do we know that Borei Olam agreed with Moshe Rabbeinu? V'eskima da'ato le'da'at ha'makom, de'lo shari ha'shechina at shabbeta. The shechina didn't come down until Shabbat. Which means, originally, Borei Olam, let's say, the way, if without Moshe Rabbeinu interpreting, Matan Torah would have been on Friday. But the shechina didn't come down until Shabbat. You see, Borei Olam agreed with Moshe Rabbeinu that he counted the proper way. So he's Mosif Yom Echad, which means it was Wednesday, really, and part of Wednesday, and then Thursday, and then Friday, and then you have Shabbat, which was the Matan Torah Rashi. עד שבתה, במסכת שבת פרק רבי עקיבא, גמרין ענה, בעבוד פרישה בארבע בשבתה, right? That was when the פרישה was given to them on Wednesday, ופרישו חמישי ושישי שלמים, right? Thursday and Friday were full days, ובשבתה שריה שכינה. Right, and the שכינה came down on Shabbat, והוא שלישי לימים השלמים. Which means that's the third full from the full days, right? V'yom rishon lo hashish lo haya lelo imo. You didn't count the first day Wednesday because you didn't have the night with it. So therefore, you have Thursday and Friday. So on the third day on the Shabbat, which actually the third day technically, that's when the Shekhinah came down. It's the third day of the Shidimi because you have Friday night with it. So therefore, it's really the third day as well. Tanya, we have a bright there. Rabbi Natan Omer. Rabbi Natan gives different shitot over here. He says like this. Bet Shammai Omri. Bet Shammai says, Shnei Zecharim Ushte Nekebot. Wow, he has a different shitot, Bet Shammai. It's just two and two. Two boys, two girls. That's the minimum. Bet Shammai Omri Zachar Nekebot. But Bet Shammai we have as we have it. A boy and a girl. Amar Avuna, my Tamad Rabbi Natan, Ali Bada Bet Shammai. What's the reason for Rabbi Natan according to Bet Shammai? Where do you get this two and two? Dichtiv, the pasuk says, "Vatosef laledet et achiv et havel." Now, actually, the beginning of the pasuk says it talks about Cain being born. No, it's fine. So, therefore, it says the words "et." It says originally et kayin, and then it says et achiv et havel. Now the ets are extra of it. So the Gemara says hevel va'achoto. It says et hevel means hevel and his sister. I mean, he was born with a twin sister. Kayin va'achoto. And Cain also was born with a sister. So therefore, you had four. Now, why does that tell you that's an obligation? But that's what he had. He had four. He had two and two. Well, where do you see that's an obligation? Uchtib, because we have another pasuk that says, Kishatli Elohim Zera Acher Tachat Ebel Ki Harago Cain.
Right. Extra.
Adam had another son called Shet. Now, why do you call him Shet? He said, Kishatli, because God gave me another son instead of Hevel that was killed by Cain. That sounds like he was replacing. And therefore, it sounds like Adam and Hashem was saying that he needs a replacement for Hevel, because otherwise he's not going to fulfill the mitzvah of Peru and Vu. So he's saying, because God gave me another son in place of Hevel that was killed by Cain. So that sounds like it's mandatory. So if we have to have two and two. That's how you see it, and you're learning it over here. Rashi, kishat li zera acher tachat hevel alma tashlumin ba'ay. Sounds like you needed to have a tashlumin. Velo sagya bilo shnei zecherim ushtei nekirim. Would have been enough unless he had two and two. V'rabbanas, what did the rabbis say? Well, they argued and said they don't need two and two. Oduyehu deka mudit. All Adam and Rishon was doing was thanking God. He didn't mean that he's thank you for replacing me. He lost one of his children, but I gave him another one. So he's just saying, thank you, kishatli Elohim Zerachel. But not that it means that it is mandatory. Comes Gibran and says, Tanya'ida, we have another blaita. Rabbi Natan Omer, Rabbi Natan says, Bet Shammai Omrim, Zachar Unkeba. A different version. According to this version, Bet Shammai says, Zachar Unkeba, Bet Telel Omrim, O Zachar Unkeba. Which is according to Bet Telel, according to this version, one.
Right.
Either a Zachar or a Nekeba. What's the reason? And the way that Binatan explains Bet Telel, Shneemar, Lo Tohu Bera'a Leshevet Yesara. The Pasuk says, I did not create the world for no reason. I created the world Leshevet Yesara in order to inhabit it, to inhabit the creation. And therefore, Ve'ahavad Leshevet. With one child, you inhabited the world. So what's the logic of Pidu Urvu? Make the world inhabited. With people. So you inhabited it. Doesn't say how many people. So therefore you made one child born into the world. That's the logic of Bet Hillel. That she says, Lo to bera'a. Actually, before that, That's right. That's what the Gemara wants to know. Where does he learn from? He's not learning from Moshe. Because that was two Zacharim. He's not learning from Briyat Olam, because that was Zachar v'Nekeba. So where's he learning from? It says, Lo to bera'a, lo bara odamo leto, ela leshevet, liyot asuki b'yishuvo shalom. The world was created so that people can involve themselves in populating it, in settling it. So you settled it. So Gemara says, Itma, now we have a statement from the Amoraim. Hayulo banim b'yoto oved kukavim. Person had children when he was a goy. Vinit Gayed, now he converted. So we want to know, does he fulfill Periyav Nibya? Do we say, well, but he had children already. I don't care if he was a goy. Or do we say, no, what he did when he was a goy is not counted. That's a machloket. Somebody shouldn't even want to say that we're talking about over here where the kids converted.
If the kids are three.
Rabbi Yochanan Amar, Kiyem Periyav Nibya. Rabbi Yochanan says, Yimekayem Periyav Nibya. V'nishtakish amar, lo kiyem periyav rebiya. V'nishtakish kar logat said, no, you're not mikayem periyav rebiya. The Gemara is going to explain the logic. Rabbi Yochanan amar, kiyem periyav rebiya. Deha habule. He had kids, bottom line. He brought children into the world. V'nishtakish amar, lo kiyem periyav rebiya. Ger shenit gayer kekatan shenola ha'dameh. He says, listen, we have a rule. When a ger converts, it's like he's just born. Nothing in his past counts, which means you're born now from scratch. Therefore, you cannot connect anything in his past life as a goy to anything that he's obligated now. Now, Rabbi Yochanan, it should be pointed out, also agrees to this principle of Gerishin Gayek Kedashin Adameh, but not to every principle, to certain principles, but not like a Pinuru, bottom line is he brought kids into the world. Now, Ba'az, Dulet Tamayu, Rabbi Yochanan, Shlakish, they're following their reasoning, the Itmar, because we have another statement. Hayulo Banim Biyoto Oved Kukavim. First, let's say he had children when he was a goy. Vinit Gayer, and then he converted. Rabbi Yochanan Amar, En lo bechol enahala. He does not, as the child that's going to be born first now, when he's a Jew, is not considered a bechor. Which is, he's not going to get double Double portion of the inheritance. Why? Already the Bechor is considered a Shitono, the first of his seed. His first seed he had already, which is his first, he was from the, when he was a goy. So therefore, you do consider those children his children that he had before, to the extent that there's not going to be Nachala on the first child that's born when he's a Jew. That she says, אין לו בכל הנחלה, בין בכל שיולד לא משנתגייר, אין לו נוטל פי שיניים. No, he doesn't get two. He has a child from the, from the, from his goy state. ריש לקיש אמר, יש לו בכל הנחלה. Says, no, the first child that's born, the boy, when he's Jewish, is going to be qualified for נחלה. Why? גר שנתגייר כקטן שנולד אמה. Same reason. Bottom line, whatever he did when he was a goy is deleted. He's considered reborn now. Therefore, it's like he didn't have children at all. The first child he has is what? From the Jew. When he's a Jew. And therefore, he qualifies for Nahala. Now, the Gemara is going to say now, Vesricha. You need both statements, because we have two really statements. Rabbi Yohanan made two statements here. He made a statement, number one, that the children of a ger are considered his children. And the second statement he said was that the Bechor that he has is not a Bechor, because you consider his children from the Goy his children. And therefore basically he's saying the same thing twice. It's the same Sefer HaRish Lakish, also is repetitious. Rish Lakish said, therefore we don't consider his children as children, therefore he did not fulfill Peru Urvu. And therefore what comes out? The Bechor is a Bechor. So the Gemara said, what do they need both statements for? The Gemara says, Sidika. They had to make both statements. They had to make the Peru Urvu statement, and they needed to make the Bechor statement. They just want to say Bei Kamaita, which is the first statement, meaning that you did not fulfill Peru Urvu, or you did. Bei Kamar Rabbi Yohanan, Mishum de Me'ikara Nami Bene Periya Rabbi Yarinu. And so you know why? Rabbi Yohanan agrees in Peru Urvu that you're going to be Yotzer, because he'll say you be Yotzer because the Goyim also are Shayach to Peru Urvu. Because God told Noah, when he came off the Teva, Peru Urvu. Mm-hmm. So therefore they're also connected to the Mizrah Peru. That's why they Yotze. Aval enyan nahala, tela b'nei nahala ninu, ema modu lil Rish Lakish. But maybe when it comes to nahala, the Goyim have no connection to the laws of nahala, which means when it comes to Goyim, there's no law of the firstborn gets double, and there's no law between a boy and a girl. Everybody's equal. And therefore, it could be that Goyim since they don't have a connection to nahala, maybe the Mizrah will agree to Rish Lakish. Now when it comes to Nahala, you go with the first boy that was born when he was Jewish. That's what I have to say, no. I don't know, argues in both cases. Even in the case of Nahala, the firstborn that's born is not considered Bechor, because he had children before. So he argues in both cases. Not only in the Peru Urvu case that they have connection to, but he also argues in the Nahala case as well, that the firstborn that's born is not considered Bechor. Now go the other way. If you're going to tell me in the case of the Nahala, I'll tell you, Beha Ka'amar Ishtakish. In this case of Nahala, the Shakish said, because why? Because the Goyim have no connection to the Nahala, so therefore you start with the first boy that's born when he was Jewish. But in the case of Peru Urvu, they do have a connection. Maybe he agrees to the Yohanan and says he fulfilled the mitzvah. Sariqa, that's why he said, tell me the Shakish. No, you're not. So now the Gemara is going to ask a question from Rabbi Yohanan to the Shtekish. I get the Shtekish clearly. He says that the children that were born when the fellow was a goy, they're not considered his children. Which means, nafkamina, when he converts, you did nothing so far. You're starting from scratch, you did not fulfill Peru Urvu. So the premise is that the children of a goy are not considered his children. So the Gemara says, what do you mean? Ba'etai, we have a pasuk, shalach berodach, bal'adan, ben bal'adan, melech babel. Now, what is the story of Bal'adan ben Bal'adan? So there was a king of Babel, his name was Bal'adan. Bal'adan got punished. The Gemara tells us his face became all deformed. He ended up looking like a caliph. So they dethroned him. His face was like a dog. It was a punishment. So he got dethroned. So once he got dethroned, his son took over. His son's name was not Bal'adan. His son's name was Berodach. But this son had a lot of respect for his father. Even though everybody else was denigrating his father because of what happened to him, but he said, bottom line, it's my father. He called himself Bal Adan. out of respect to his father. Gemara says on this fellow, Ben Yechabed Av. You see over here, how much his son goes out of his way to respect his father. Even though Baladan, that name was probably an embarrassing name to take. It was a shameful name. The man looked like a dog. But what? It's his father. He took over. He called himself Baladan, the son of Baladan. But what do you see over here? That's considered his son. Which is, it's considered a, when a goy has a son, it's considered his son. But if you caught Yudish Takish, the son of a goy is not doesn't count. Yeah, you told me that when you convert, he did nothing. But here you see what? The children of the goy is considered his children. Baladan ben Baladan. So the Gemara says, the obvious answer, the Gemara says, Amar le, Behiyotan of the Kochavim, Itlu Hayes. You're right. When they're goyim, and they don't convert, they stay goyim, there's a connection, there is father-son relationship. However, did gayiru let leochayis, but once they convert, they lose it. Well, what was the Shekhi's whole logic? Ger shenit gayir, ki katan shenolad damir. And therefore it's a delete button when he converts. In a kind of, when he remains a goy, baladan ben baladan, which is the son and the father, the father-son. However, once they convert, that's what Shakish was saying. They lose whatever they did when they were goyim, and therefore it starts again. Oh, this principle, b'nei banim, b'nei kibanim, b'nei, the daughter's child, how do you know that that's the status of b'nei banim, kibanim? Ilema midichtiv. Maybe we know this principle from Lavan. When he told Yaakov Abinu, habanot benotai, the daughters are my daughters. Vabanim banai. Now, from the fact that he's coming along and saying the daughters are my daughters, which means these are from his daughters, which means Leah and Rachel, let's say, are his daughters, and therefore he's saying what, the grandchildren that come from Rachel and Leah are considered my daughters. So let me see, bnei banim kebanim, even by the daughters. That's the proof. So Gemara says no. Ela me'ata. The Hasson Soni. When he comes along and says, and the sheep is mine. What does it mean? That they're related to him? That he has Yahusna to his sheep? Ella, what was he saying by the sheep? Ella dekanit minai. All he's saying is that I acquired it from you. Hachaname, when he referred to his grandchildren, he just means to say dekanit minai. That what? That you acquired it. That I acquired it from you, which is their mine. Which is, he was not discussing the gabe yehus, the law of bnei banim kebanim. He's like, just like the sheep is mine, so too the children and the grandchildren are mine as well. So we need a proof. How do you know bnei banim kebanim by the daughter? Ela me'acha. We have a pasuk. Pasuk is in Divrei Hayamim. Ve'achar ba Hesron el bat machir abi Gilad, etc. etc. Vatel edlo et segub. There was a fellow called Hesron. Hesron came from the tribe of Yehuda. Hesron married bat machir. Now we know that Machir came from Menashe. So therefore you have a fellow from Yehuda marrying Bat Machir, the daughter of Machir from Menashe. So the Pasuk continues to say, Uchtiv, Mini Machir Yaredu Mechokekim. Machir says, from me Machir came Mechokekim. Mechokekim is, let's say, legislators. So let's say Tamid Achamim. And we have another pasuk that says, "Uchtiv Yehuda mechokeki." That what? That from Yehuda also came mechokekim, legislators. So now the question is, you have to find a case where you have the mechokekim that can come from Yehuda and Menashe. Well, the only connection that we have between Yehuda and Menashe is what? Is this marriage between Hesron and Bat Machir? And what is Machir saying? From me came mechokekim. That means from my daughter. Which is from my daughter. That means the daughter, Bat Machir, that married Hesron from Yehuda. And therefore you see why it's considered from him. So therefore you see why Bnei Banim Kebanim, that it goes even from the daughter. Ni Machir, Yardu Mechokekim, Velo Matsinu Lememar Mebnei Banav. You could not say that Machir was talking about his grandchildren from his sons. Ela Mebnei Bito. Why? So you have to find mechokekim that came from Menashe and Yehuda together. And therefore
Kebanav. Comes Kebanav, continues. Matnitin. Al Mishnah, the Lord could be Yoshua. Does not go like Rabbi Yoshua. Why? What does Rabbi Yoshua say? Netanya Rabbi Yoshua Meir. Nasa Adam Isha Bialduto. If a person got married when he was young, Isa Isha Biziknuto. Which means he should still get married even when he is older. Hayalo Banim Bialduto. If he had children when he was young, Yehu lo banim biziknuto. He should still have more children when he gets older. Shne emar babok ezera zareicha velaerev al tanach yadecha. Which means sow your seeds when you're young in the morning and in the evening do not stop. Now, why is that not like our Mishnah? Because our Mishnah said that once a person has children, fulfilled pidavim ya yivatil. He doesn't have to have children anymore. He just has to have a wife. But according to the Yoshua, he's saying no. That if you had children when you were young, you should keep on having children in the etziknuto, the end of his life. Why? What's the reason why he says that? Ki enecha yodeya eze yichshar haze oze. Which means you're not going to know which ones are going to be kesherim. That she says, what does it mean kesherim? Eze zera yehagun v'yiresh shamayim u'mitkayim. Which means you don't know what children to come out religious. You don't know what children to come out the yiresh shamayim. So we got to keep on producing children, and you hope that from the children that you have, you'll produce yiresh shamayim. V'im shneim ke'ahad tovim, or if they'll both be good. You don't know. Therefore, you have to have children constantly. That goes against our Mishnah. So our Mishnah is not like Rabbi Yoshua. Comes again and says, Rabbi Akiva Omer, similar principle. Lamad Torah biyalduto, yilmod Torah biziknuto. You learn Torah when you were young, you have to continue learning Torah when you get older. Hayulo talmidim biyalduto, you taught students in your youth. Yayulo talmidim biziknuto, keep on teaching students even when you get older. Shnei emar b'pok ezera'at zara'echa. Now this is referring to Talmud Torah now, which means sow your seed. You teach Torah when you're young and teach Torah when you're old. Logic again being, you don't know which students are going to remain. And Rabbi Akiva knew this firsthand. The Gemara tells the story. Amru shnei ma'asar elef zugim talmidim ayulo Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Akiva had 12,000 pairs of students, which means 24,000 students. Megabat ad Antiparis. Right? It's giving you the location where these students were. Right between those two cities, that's where they lived. Vechulan metu beperek echad, and all of them died during one period. Mepeneshelo nagu kavod zelazeh, because they did not give each other themselves the mutual respect. Vaya olam shemim, and the world was desolate, meaning from Torah. Rabbi Akiva came to the rabbis in the south, and he started to teach them the Torah again. Who were these rabbis? Rabbi Meir, Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Yosef, Rabbi Shimon, that's Rabbi Shimon ben Yochai, Rabbi Elazar ben Shamua. Him, Ha'imidu Torah. They're the pillars of Torah, which means the Torah that we have today, actually, this comes from the five students of Akiva taught in his old age. Otasha'a. Tana kulam metu mepesach ve'ad aseret. All of them died between Pesach and Shavuot. So you see over here, if Rabbi Akiva would have said, well, I taught 24,000 students. Well, what am I going to teach five more? It turns out that from the 24,000, we don't have too many Hadushim left. But the Torah from the five students, that's what kept Torah perpetuating. So therefore you see the principle. Comes the Gemara and says, Amar Rav Hama bar Abba, Vetim Rav Chaya bar Avin, Kulam metu mita ra'ah. Jesus, not only did they die, but they died a very gruesome death, a very terrible death, mita ra'ah, a painful death. Mayhi, Amar Rav Nachman askira. The death called askira, which is they call in English diphtheria, which is a type of disease where eventually a person loses his ability to breathe. It's like an asthma, very bad asthma. We cannot breathe, and also he loses his ability to speak. That's what Mefashim says, mitara'a, because the whole crown of humanity is what that he's able to talk. He's a medaber, and they lose the ability even to speak. Amar matna halacha kerbi Yoshua. So the matna says halacha falls to be Yoshua. That why if you had children when you were young, don't stop, continue having children. Now, there's an interesting summary that the Gemara brings down over here.
So it's worth it to go through this summary just to get the shittot clear over here. First of all, we have the mitzvah priya v'ribya. So he writes over here, mitzvah ta'aseh shehi min ha-Torah mutilat al anashim velo anashim. The mitzvah priya v'ribya obviously is on men. It's not on the woman. I saw it interesting. I douched once. Like I bear this point that it's on the men and not on the ladies. The Gemara says in Berachot and Nida and some other places that really from the Torah law, a Nida just has to wait 7 days.
Yeah.
And then it's enough that she got to the mikveh and she's okay. It doesn't have to be 7 clean days like we're nohig today. But midina the Torah, even 7 days regular, she goes to the mikveh. But today we're mahmir. That while we treat every nida like she's a zavah gedola, which means she needs 7 clean days, then she got to go to the mikveh, etc. And the way the Gemara says this is, the Bizera quotes, he says, Benot Yisrael ihmiru al atzman. Benot Yisrael, the Jewish girls were ma'amir that even if they see dam ke harda, like a mustard seed, they sit 7 clean days. So I saw Rav Vazna brings down, that's why it says, Benot Yisrael ihmiru al atzman. Because really by this humnah, you technically ask a question. You're refraining from pirur vu. But you're now ready, many more days in a month, you cannot be together. That's why it says, they don't have a hayuv of peru urvu. So therefore, they're allowed to be mahmir al atzman. But Sheikh and the men would not be able to take such a hold on because it's affecting an obligation on them. But the ladies come along and say, mahmir al atzman. We have the ability to be mahmir because we don't have this hayuv. Next point. There's 3 pesukim that talk about peru urvu in the Torah. So one of the pesukim is Bereshit Aleph Kafchet, which clearly says peru urvu. That's really the source of the mitzvah. One is by Noah that we said. The Prophet told Noah also peru urvu, and also we have the pasuk of Lashevet Yitzara. The Navi commands what to populate the world. Now we had a machloket, exactly how many children one has to have. We had a machloket Betelil Bet Shammai. We had a machloket Rabbi Natan in Bet Shammai and Betelil, exactly what the parameters of mitzvah is. La Lacha, we obviously posek like Betelil, not the way Rabbi Natan understood him in one interpretation, which means you have to have a boy and a girl to fulfill this mitzvah. Im ben o abat enam yicholim leolid ba'atzmam. Right? If the children, let's say, cannot perpetuate, or imet achad min bechayav, or bat minam, one of them died when the parents were still alive. Hayav ha'av la'ashlim et ha'chaser. Right? So we can follow the halakha that says he has to fulfill the void. He has to, which we go like Rabbi Yochanan, we do not forsake like Rav Huna that says he fulfilled the mitzvah. Unless, of course, that child left a grandchild, then we use the principle of b'nei banim, harem kebanim. Because the subject of that a person should not remain without a wife. Now, some of the logic is why, even if he has children, but he should still have a wife, some say the logic is so it should not have hirurim.
Yeah.
So it should not lead to bad thoughts. So that means even if he had a lot of children, and even if he's an akar now, even if let's say he's barren or he's sterile, doesn't matter. Really, he should be with a wife. Okay? Now, according to Rabbi Yoshua, in a different shita, he said a person has to perpetuate having children, even if he had children already, he has to continue. And the reason over here, because you don't know which children are going to be Yeresh Shamayim and which not. Okay? Now, regarding the selling the Sefer Torah for this mitzvah over here, so he writes away, it's permissible to sell a mitzvah to fulfill peru urvu, that already is devra kol. That's no question. So there's a machloket, like we said, by Rabban and the Ritva, they can be selling the Sefer Torah to have a kiyum wife, not for peru urvu wife, but just to have a wife for a lotum, that already we saw a machloket amongst the
Rishonim.
Matna, halakha k'rabi Yoshua, Amar Rav Tanchum, or Rabbi Tanchum, Amar Rav Hanilai, kol adam she'en lo isha, Sharui belo simcha, belo beracha, belo toba. Any person that is without a wife, he does not have what we call true simcha, happiness, without beracha, and without toba, that's goodness. Belo simcha, how do we know a person can have true simcha? Dichtiv, besamachta ata ubetecha. Betecha is his wife. And therefore the true simcha comes when he has his wife. Bedo beracha dichtiv lehaniach beracha el betecha. And the Gemara says in Metziah that ena beracha metzuya betoch betosh el adam ela ba'avur ishto. like the pasuk says, Avraham Avinu. I'm saying outside, Avraham Hithiv Ba'avura. So you see what, that the beracha really comes from the wife, from the beracha. That's what the Mekubalim write, that on Lil Shabbat, when you give the challah, you're supposed to take a kezayit for yourself when you break from the challah, but you're supposed to give a kabesa to your wife. Double. Why? Because really all the parnasa beracha comes through the wife. So therefore you give her a double portion to show that you know the parnasa comes from her. The Gemara says, "Belo toba dechtiv lo tov iot adam lebado," which means when a person is not married, lo tov. The statistics are told that people that are married, number one, they live longer, and number two, they are healthier. Yeah. And therefore they're more successful. They did statistics as well. We don't know Hiddush to us. We're reading in the Gemara. You see all the benefits over here that a person said. This is besides the children. This is besides the children. This is discussing now the other benefits. In the West, they said, Israel, Belo Torah, Belo Choma. He has no Torah if he's not married. Without Torah, Belo Choma, without a shield. Belo Torah, what does it mean? Dichtiv, Ha'im en Ezrati bi. Which means if my Ezra is not with me, what's Ezrati? Ezra Kenegdo, that's his wife. So it says V'tushia Nidchei Mimeni. Tushia means to forget, which means if a person does not have a wife, already he forgets his Torah. And if I have to explain over here, what does it mean? A person not married doesn't have Torah. So we understand that there's different types of Torah. This Torah is discussing over here is not the quantitative Torah, because maybe really a person when he's single he can learn more Torah, because he's not bound by the obligations of raising a family. However, we're discussing about qualitative Torah. What does it mean, qualitative Torah? Biktushav Torah, which is when a person is married now already has pat misalo, so he's able to be tahor. He doesn't have hirurim. So the Torah that he's studying is on a much higher plane, even though it might not be quantitatively as much, but the quality of the Torah is much higher. Comes the Gemara and says, Beno Choma, person not married doesn't have a wall. What does this wall mean? Dichtiv. Let's get the right language of the Pasuk. The language of the Pasuk is Nekeva Tesovev Gaber, which is the Nekeva, the wife, Tesovev, like a door. She closes the door like puts the wall, surrounds, which is say she surrounds the husband, which means like this. We're talking about a wall over against the Yetzer Hara. There's a wall. When a person's not married, so he's vulnerable to the Yetzer Hara. However, once a person gets married, so already the wife is a choma. She's a shield. She shields him from Chazal Shalom Merurim Nine. That's why the Ashkenazim have a custom that's brought down, that the Hatan under the Chuppah, they surround him. The Kala walks around him seven times, which is symbolizing what? It's a wall. They're putting a spiritual wall around the Hatan that is going to be protected from Chazal Shalom any Isurim. Rava Bar Ula Amar Belo Shalom. Which means there's no shalom. It cannot be, there's no peace. And this word shalom over can also mean perfection. Nelashon shelemut. Dechtiv yadarta ki shalom aolecha ufakadta navecha velo techeta. Which means, we're discussing over that she even brings down ki shalom aolecha. Actually, which we'll see later on. The shelemut over means, shalom means peace, which simply means, we could say like this, without shalom. You can't have shalom if you're alone. So therefore, when does a person really test his ability to make shalom? That he's a peace-loving person when there's somebody else with him. And then if a person's living alone, so then there's no shalom, there's only one person. And especially if you want to now work on this kinyan of shalom, it can only be when you're living with somebody else, therefore there's no shalom. And also, we can explain that means the shelemut. That a person, according to the Zohar, says before he's married, he's considered plag inash. He's considered half a person. And then when a person gets married, then his wife really compliments him, meaning fills up the void. For example, the Zohar is telling you that the neshamot of a person are incomplete. So therefore, when does he have shlemut? Only after he gets married. Amar Yoshua ben Nevi, kol hayodea be'ishto, she'irat shamayim. If a person knows that his wife is yirat shamayim, is yirat shamayim, ve'ena pokda, and he does not fulfill his obligation of conjugal rights towards her, that's mitzvah onah, to be with her, nikra chote, he's considered a sinner. Shene emar v'yadata ki shalom aholecha. So that she's, what does it mean? If your tent, if your wife is shalom, meaning shenema b'yirat shamayim, so therefore it says you have to be with her. Ufakadta aholecha, you have to be with her. Velo techta. Because if you don't, you can make a sin. So all the mefashim say what? If your wife's not yirat shamayim, you don't have to be with her? The mitzvah of Onah is regardless of your wife's religious level. So what does it mean over here that only if she's Yirat Shamayim? So explanation is like this. If she's Yirat Shamayim, so that means she's very humble and she's very modest. And therefore, usually, even though the halakha says the ladies, the tzinuot, they're not toveya, they don't say beferush to initiate bi'ah, but, because it's embarrassing, yeah. And they're not aggressive like that, but halakha does say that they give remazim.
So
if the husband sees that the wife gives a remiz, so you have the obligation also to be with her. Oh, so what happens? A lady that's Yirat Shamayim, she doesn't even give remazim. She's so sadeke, she doesn't want to do anything like this. But the Gemara is telling us, don't kid yourself. She really still wants to have the her rights of onah, but while she's embarrassed, she's Yirat Shamayim. Therefore, if you're not going to be with her, you can consider a sinner. A regular lady, peshita, she's going to give signals. Right. Don't think that because she's not giving signals, they say, oh, I'm off the hook, if she's not interested. No. The contrary, that even though she has Yirat Shamayim, you still have to be with her, even though she doesn't give the signals. Comes the Gemara and says, Ve'amar Yishom Nevi, Hayav Adam Lifkod Et Eshto B'Sha'a Shu Yotzeh LaDerech. Oh, very important halakha. A person has to be with his wife before he goes out on the road, before he goes on a trip. Why? Shun Emad V'Yadata Ki Shalom O Alecha. Which means we have a pasuk over here that says that what? You have peace in your house, and it says that you will be with your wife. And the pasuk before that gives an implication where you're going in a place where there's wild animals. That means you're going on a trip. Where's the wild animals found? Outside of his house. Because he's on a business trip he's going, let's say. So it says before he goes on the trip, there's a special halakha that says he has to be with his wife. What's the logic? So look at the Rashi. Rashi says, B'shas yitzil adim, b'shum shemit ave lo be'otah sha'ayoter. Come on, give us the psychology. The lady has an extra ta'ava for the husband before he goes away, therefore he has to satisfy that ta'ava, therefore he has a mandatory obligation. So Gemara says, is that how you know that? We know from a different pasuk. Gemara says, ah, me'acha nafka, me'atam nafka. We know from somewhere else. Del ishech teshukatech. The pasuk says that the lady ishech, your wife, will be, her desire will be towards you. So what does the Gemara learn from that pasuk? Melamed she'isha mishtokeket al ba'ala b'sha'a shu yotzeh el aderech. So we know that already. We know that a wife has a certain hishtokekut towards the husband before he goes out on the derech. And we know that halakha says that whenever the lady has a certain hishtokekut, he has to fulfill his obligation. So what is the extra pasuk of here coming to tell me that ufakadtana vecha, that you have to be with your wife? We know that already. So comes the Gemara and says, Amar of Yosef lo nitzlecha ela samuch levista vekama amar rava ona, which means the Gemara says like this. It was like a big chiddush. Vaday, if a person is going away, we know the pasuk eli shek teshukatesh, she has extra tava at that moment. You have to be with her. But we're discussing at a time when normally you're not allowed to be with her. Which means we have a time that's called onah simucha levista. Which means we know a person, but when his wife's nida, but that is not allowed to be with us. No question about it. And there's no heter, even if he's going away on a trip. However, the halakha says that before she normally gets her nida, for a period of time before, the Gemara says, how much is that period of time? In onah, one period, he has to refrain. That's called the onah simucha levista. Now, what's the reason why a person has to refrain? Because the concern is that she might get it. And now, there's a big machloket exactly how to define this onah. Which means, is it a full onah? Is it half an onah? Which means, when we say onah, does it mean 24-hour period? Or does it mean just a 12-hour period? Okay, so let's just go to the halakha, the way we know heg, according to Maran. And it's talking about over here, that period itself, which means, let's say she normally would see at night, after a certain amount of days, let's say, right, according to the intervals, make the calculation. So therefore, the deen is going to be that night where she normally sees that whole night, from the beginning of, let's say, sunset, till all the way till the morning, she's forbidden. And some she don't want to see already, she's asu from the day. So you take two onah. You take the onah before, plus the onah already that she normally sees. But we're going to the halakha. So now let's say a case like this. Let's say a guy's going away on business. The Gemara is going to say one more line. We can read that actually. This is all talking about where he's going away on business. Aval edvar mitzvah mitredeh. We'll see what that mitredeh means in a second. So now let's say the guy's going away at night, and that happens to be the night of onas simukal v'stav, which means he's not allowed to be together because the concern is that maybe the nida is going to come. If he just goes to the nida came, let's say last time at 10 o'clock at night, maybe he's going to come now at 7 o'clock at night. You don't know when it's going to come. Any time during that window. So therefore, the hachamim said it's machlokin if it's been a torah, it's a banan. But the point is, it's asur to go with her. So the hadush is when a person is going away on business, or nasim mukallam bistah, they waive that onah, that gezerah, we'll call it, and they allowed him to be with the wife. So that's what the first pasuk comes to tell me. Stam, and the sheikh the shugat teaches me, you know, whenever you go away, when she's mutat, you 100% go with her because you have a mitzvah. Now we're giving you an added hadush. That in the case where she's Asurati umidin ona, still it's permissible to go with her to fulfill this mitzvah. Now Tosafot has brings different shitot over here. Someone is saying, no, we're talking about over here where she's really nida. Oh, she's really nida. So what are we talking about over here? How can a person go with his wife nida? Has v'shalom. We never let somebody go with his wife nida to fulfill this mitzvah. And he says over here, you're allowed to be involved with divrei ritzui. She's normally during the time of nida, a person not allowed to talk things that can lead to intimacy. Has v'shalom, because it can come to isur. So he's saying over here that before a person goes away on the even if she's nida, according to one girsa, then already they allow him to say things of intimacy in order that he should show his love to his wife before he goes. At least that way, then he can go away. So that's the different ways of understanding this Gemara. In any event, the question is then what's between Reshut and Mitzvah? You tell only if he's going away on Dvar Reshut. But if he's going away for Mitzvah, so then anyway, he's off talking. He doesn't have this obligation. So Rashi brings two interpretations. Why Mitzvah? He doesn't have this obligation. Let's read Rashi. ואני מילי דחייב לפוק נא כי עזל דבר הרשות אבל דבר מצווה לא משום לתריד במצווה. He's sick in the mitzvah already. So once already he's involved in the mitzvah, you have to fulfill this mitzvah. You're already involved in the mitzvah. Iname mitrid b'tashmich v'yibatel the mitzvah. We don't care if he gets delayed on a business trip, but if he's going on a mitzvah trip, we don't want to get delayed on the mitzvah. He's going to get involved now with the tashmish, so he's going to delay the mitzvah. So therefore, mitzvah is too important. Therefore, we say better to keep your mind on the mitzvah and don't get sidetracked on this subject. Baruch Adonai Le'olam. Amen. Amen. Amen.